Here we go. Okay, you are expected to think. I didn't turn on my record button so that I can rebroadcast. Here we go again. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence. Be it New York, Bangkok, Berlin, Rome, Paris, or Stalingrad, we must take control of our government. Now, before this bureaucratic, oversized, self-serving federal government stars up of our liberty, our property, and our rights, it's time to shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Good evening, everyone. I will be very surprised if there is anyone listening this evening. Right now, I guess the Indianapolis Colts are playing the New England Patriots, and the score was 28-21 with, when I last checked, with the Colts coming down the field for a touchdown, hopefully to score. Anyway, so everyone in the world is watching that, but I was committed to broadcast this evening, and I will broadcast. Again, this is Joe Cristiano, and this is Liberty Talk Radio. We do invite your comments at libertytalkradio.com. And before we start our program on the Federal Reserve System, I'd like to read an email that I received. This is from Alex. He said, how can the platform of libertarianism exist within the context of a plural, heterogeneous society with so much diversity? Would it not stand to reason that a civilized society, by its very nature and existence, must place parameters, constraints on the individual, that a community is willing to tolerate? I do not believe that toleration is same as acceptance, as the two are mutually exclusive. And therefore, the rationale behind them both, rampant individualism versus rugged individualism. Cheers, Alex. Let me answer it this way: there is a misnomer that if people are left to their own accord, we would have anarchy, panic in the streets. Everything would be absolutely out of control. People would be taking advantage of other people, regardless. I mean, total havoc, panic, you know, almost what you're suggesting here is that, you know, where are the restraints and the parameters? Well, Alex, let me tell you something. Listen, I'm going to be 64 years old soon, and I've seen situations where people were left under their own accord. And I've seen situations where people were held to very, very strict parameters. And surprisingly, the situations where there was more harmony and things worked better is when there were no controls. The reason why we have a democracy, one reason why we have the type of form of government we have, is that we have a rule of law. Now, not every country has a rule of law. If you have a rule of law, that means, you know, if you infringe on somebody else's rights, you know, you will be held to task for that. You'll be taken to court and punished. Or you have to give, you know, the property back if you stole it. Whatever the case may be, you have to make remedy for that, right? All you need is a rule of law. And that's not going to apply to 99% of the people. It's the 1% that are going to try to take advantage of everyone else. And also, rule of law prevents some people from gaining so much power that they can do things that others cannot. Now, we have more rules and regulations in our country that we can shake a stick at. We have hundreds of thousands of pages of regulations and rules, right? And what do we have as a result of it? We have centralization of power. We have a government with congressmen that have and senators that wield a tremendous amount of power. And in other words, exactly what you're suggesting, the opposite is occurring, Right? If people are left free within a country with a rule of law, right, you don't have to worry about a thing. Right? And I hope that answers your question. But there are people who are really concerned about libertarians and that, you know, we're free-minded and people are going to be running around the street like mad people. No, absolutely not. In fact, let me suggest that there will be a lot more accord than there would be discord, you know, under libertarian society. Right now, there's a tremendous amount of discord. I think everyone would agree with that. Okay, now on to our program. I want to talk a little bit about the Federal Reserve. I'm going to keep this to 30 minutes. This is an ugly subject, and it's a subject that I would suspect no one wants to talk about because it's boring. No one talks about it. No one knows anything about it, and I'm not an expert in it. I do recommend a book by it's called the Creature from Jekyll Island. And I don't have it in front of me, and I cannot remember the author. My mind's a blank. It's The Creature from Jekyll Island. It is an absolutely must-read. I'm reading that book now, by the way. Unfortunately, it will get you sick. It's very, very, very well done. Very well written and very detailed. It's about 600-700 pages long. It's worth it. Dedicate part of your life to read that book. It is a life-altering book if you read it. This will be a pivot in your life when you read this book. Now, I'm not going to outline the book here. We would need several hours, and I haven't finished reading it anyway, but I know a little bit about the Federal Reserve, and I'll tell you a little bit that I do know and a little bit of research that I've done. Yeah. We say, you know, we have Federal Reserve notes in our pocket, right? Now, here lies some of the real basic problems. We have a Federal Reserve Bank. Now, number one, it's not federal. It's not a government agency. It's not even a quasi-government agency. It is a private agency owned and operated by a wealthy group of men, a cartel. Right? So first of all, the Federal Reserve Bank is not federal. Secondly, it has no reserves. Not a dime. Does not have a reserve. And third, it isn't a bank. So we have the Federal Reserve Bank that's not federal, not reserve, not bank. With that definition, where do we go from here? You know, and that's about the best part of it. So we have a title for something that's not exactly descriptive. In fact, it's intentionally, and it was intentionally designed to be very misleading for the public. And this was done back in 1910 and enacted in 1913. This has been going on for a long time, folks. Right, it's almost like having a business establishment and naming it American Auto Parts Store, right? And finding out that there's nothing American about it, they don't sell auto parts, and basically there's no store. Wouldn't you consider that a fraud? Well, the government has allowed the Federal Reserve to exist, and it's been perpetrating this fraud on its citizens since 1913. And now, that someday, there will be a judgment day for the Federal Reserve. And the effects of that are going to be absolutely catastrophic. Now, am I predicting it? Yes, I'm predicting it. I don't know when it's going to happen. But when it does occur, it is going to be mean. It'll be so mean that we will wish that we were living back in 1930, 1931, in the depths of the Depression. When those were going to be considered the good old days. The Federal Reserve Act of 1913 gave authority of the Federal Reserve Bank to issue notes. These notes are not issued by the Treasury of the United States, but they carry the signature of the Treasurer of the United States and the Secretary of the Treasury. These notes are fiat currency, which means that the U.S. government is not obligated to give you anything tangible or anything of value for it, other than replacement notes. Prior to 1933, you could have exchanged these notes for gold upon presentation. Now they're only exchanged for a different color paper. I recall when I went to Europe, when I was young, I went with my parents. And I was in France, and they had two currencies at the time. They had the devalued franc, and they had the new franc. And after when I started reading about the Federal Reserve and the amount of money that they're pumping out these days, something like we're in debt to like $9 trillion. And the amount of money that's outstanding, it sort of reminded me of how currencies can be devalued, and they get devalued to a point where they just eliminate the old currency and replace it with the new. Neither currency in France, either the old franc or the new franc, were worth anything. And that's interesting. We are in the exact same position as they were, and we're getting there fast. And it states on it, that the bill, it says, shall be redeemable for lawful money, And you say, well, lawful money. What kind of lawful money? Well, more paper. You know, it's just kind of, this whole thing is such a charade. This is the world's biggest Ponzi scheme in the world, right? Now, this means that the notes are backed by the full faith and credit of the United States. Well, intrinsically, the notes are worth nothing. They're worthless. They're just pieces of paper. That means the ability of the government to levy taxes to pay its debt. So the government prints money. Somebody, a private firm, prints money for the government, sells it to the government at a discount, discounts it, and charges them interest. And in fact, we pay for it. These people get rich. We get the money. Money is worthless. And the only reason why people are accepting it is because the government can tax the populace to pay off its debts. Do you see a problem there? I think this is absolutely remarkable when you start thinking about it. I mean, if someone tried to devise that today and went on TV and said, I'd like to devise this system, the person would be absolutely left. The guy would be put in for psychiatric evaluations, and this makes absolutely no sense. This is harmful to the economy. You're stealing from the citizens. You're making a few people extremely wealthy. They have no risk whatsoever, and all they do is print money and sell it. They print money and sell it back to the government, and the government pays for it. And then they charge a discount for the money. So they charge $100, they get they give $96, they get paid $100. And they do this every day, every minute of every day. The wording, which I believe is very misleading, is when they say that it is backed by the economy. It says it's backed by the U.S. economy. Well, the U.S. economy means my work and your work. That means we are backing it, but they're printing it. We have no control over that. And the notes only have value because people are willing to accept them. If someday someone says, I don't think I want that bill, it's worthless. The money immediately becomes worthless. That's scary. No one transfers. People work all their lives. They put money away, and at a stroke of a pen, it can become worthless. And not by the government, but by an organization that's headed by a cartel of extremely rich people. Now, here's something interesting. Coins are produced by the Mint, and that's a Treasury Bureau. And the Fed pays the Mint the full value for each coin. And the coins are a direct obligation of the Treasury. That sort of makes a little bit more sense. But of course, you know, our wealth is not tied up in coins. I read an article one time about the Federal Reserve, and they call the U.S. dollar, when it compared to other currencies, the world's tallest dwarf. Think about that. The world's tallest dwarf. That's not giving me a vote of confidence in holding many dollars. Here, let me explain a little bit how this all came about. Back in 1910, the big money men, I mean, we're talking about J.P. Morgan's, the Rothschild family in Europe. I'm talking about the real big, the DuPonts, the heads of the largest banks. They were around 10 or 12 people who got together and decided that it would, instead of competing against one another, they would start a cartel, right? And they would all profit by it. They would have to compete for it. In other words, they wanted to control the money supply. and they would dictate how much goes out and how much people pay for it. You know, many people during history say, give me control of the money, I don't need the army. You have the control of the money, you have control of the nation. And that's exactly what they did. And the way they had that passed is back in December 22nd. Listen, December 22nd. Now, that's 2 days before Christmas Eve. At 1:30 a.m., between 1:30 and 4:30 a.m. in the morning, they introduced this bill. They had a congressional conference committee. Oh, and I want to direct you to an article on the web on www.zmag.org. There's an excellent article by Stephen Lindman called Federal Reserve. It's on ZNet. It's great. It outlines all, it summarizes basically the entire book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. I recommend you read this article, but I highly recommend that you do buy the book. Right? You got it at Borders any place. In fact, it is right now. It's on the shelves, and it's been there for a couple of years. All right. So they had this congressional conference committee meet at 1:30 in the morning, December 22nd, 1913. The next day, they brought it up for a vote. Of course, no one was there, hardly anyone was there, and those people there weren't given any opportunity to read it, to discuss it, or anything like that. It just sounded good, you know, sounded like the right thing to do, and it got voted in. Well, a lot of people knew what it was about, but they sold the country down the river. Even Woodrow Wilson had mentioned, he said, I unwittingly ruined my country once he realized what he had agreed to. Once he looked at it, he realized he destroyed the nation. 43 years ago, John Kennedy was assassinated. There is heavy speculation that he was assassinated because he was the only president that that acted on behalf of the people who elected him. In other words, he wanted to take control of the money back and federalize it. And now there's a movement to federalize the Federal Reserve Bank. And so the government doesn't have to pay, you know, this cartel for money. Anyway, they just print it, whatever the cost of printing is, so that's the only thing that it costs, and then they can control the currency a lot better that way. And the people have direct control over the currency because people are voting the people into office, where this cartel is a private organization, has nothing to do with the government whatsoever. They close ties to the government, but they have nothing to do with the government. Right, so there's a lot of speculation that Kennedy may have been assassinated because he attempted to do away with the Federal Reserve. In fact, Lincoln tried to do the same thing. There was no Federal Reserve at the time, but he monkeyed with the big bankers, and he tried to take control of the situation as well, and he was assassinated. Now, there's no direct link, but it's strange that both were assassinated and both wanted to take control of the money supply for the U.S. citizens. Now, understand, when these senators and these congressmen voted the Federal Reserve in, they voted against the Constitution because the Constitution does not permit the Congress to allow a private party to print money. It's absolutely unconstitutional. You could read it. It's plain as day. And yet they did that. And every time someone goes into office and says, you know, when they get to office, they say, it's time for a change. That's one thing they should change. And that's one thing they never do. So everyone who gets into office and they don't bring this up as a constitutional, you know, change. I mean, not a constitutional change, but bring this up as a to federalize the Federal Reserve and get rid of all these. Get rid of the cartel is actually working in concert with them and against the people and against the Constitution. I think that if you read this, you realize that the Federal Reserve is the largest, biggest fraud ever perpetrated on the government, on the people. And yet, when you go to school, you never learn that. They talk about the Federal Reserve, and they just call it the Federal Reserve, and they just go on, and you just assume that, you know, it's part of the federal government. In fact, that's why they called it the Federal Reserve, because they knew people would accept that term. And the issue is of private ownership of federal banks. There's a few people who own it all here in the United States and in Europe. And they basically, you know, finance all the wars and decide what the how much money is going to be placed in the economy. Now, of course, what they say is, well, without a Federal Reserve, there'll be swings in the economy. Well, we've had a terrible track record. After the Federal Reserve, you know, we had the Great Depression. And that had to do with tight money supply. It had nothing to do with the stock market. And the Federal Reserve just blew it. They just tightened the money up. They wanted to keep it for themselves. And as a result, they just crippled the economy. We've had recessions. We've had inflation. Look at the dollar. Since World War II, the dollar is only worth, 8 cents compared to what it was in 1945? Is that control of the currency? Quite frankly, it's totally out of hand. Look at the amount of money that's being printed now. Foreign governments don't even want, they're trying to diversify away from the dollar. Well, geez, we know we have a Federal Reserve. You know, should be no problem whatsoever. And yet, the Federal Reserve has not done a very good job. Thomas Jefferson said this: "I sincerely believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. Already, they have raised up a money aristocracy that has set the government at defiance. The issuing power should be taken from the banks and restored to the people to whom it properly belongs." Very good. There's another one here. Abraham Lincoln said in 1886, "It is more despotic than a monarch, more insolent than aristocracy, and more selfish than a bureaucracy. It denounces as public enemies all who question its methods or throw light upon its crimes. I have two great enemies, the Southern Army in front of me and the bankers in the rear. Of the two, the one at the rear is my greatest foe." You know, that is really very interesting. That through time, and there's so many more quotes, but through time, it's amazing that people have felt that the money changers were the most dangerous people to deal with. "The Federal Reserve System is the result of the Congress and the President having agreed to privatize the national monetary system and relinquish power that should have remained in the government's exclusive right." I'd like to read something here from this article that I've read from ZNet. And it says here, "The right to print money in any amount, control supply and price, and benefit hugely by loaning it out for a profit, including to the government itself, that must pay interest on the money it should never have to if it simply printed its own. Think of what happened as the government having legalized the right to counterfeit the national currency for private gain." It's amazing that this is, when you really look at it, how simple it is and how dangerous it is. There are four ways that the Federal Reserve Bank is dangerous to us. First of all, it inflates the money supply, which means that every dollar we have in our pocket becomes worthless. It becomes worth less than it was the day before. And we talked about this a few days ago. Also, it's an invisible tax of inflation. That's the way what actually happens, is that, you know, since it's not worth as much, basically it's inflated. We work to supply the cartel of the Federal Reserve and pay them and make them rich while it makes us poorer. We should be rioting in the streets. Since March 2006, the Fed stopped publishing the M3 aggregate of the total amount of dollars in circulation. Now, everyone wants to know what that is if they're trading in currencies, of foreign currencies, they want to know that. Say, with that transparency gone, big buyers of U.S. treasuries now have to calculate the value of the dollar based on speculation and uncertainty rather than on hard data. not a way to inspire trust in the financial markets that function best in an atmosphere of openness and clarity. And I'm reading that verbatim on Stephen's website. Another thing, he indicates here that the cartel is able to get the public to bail out the system with tax dollars. For example, if one of the Federal Reserve banks runs out of money, no problem. We'll just tax the citizens, and they'll bail out the bank because the FDIC, no one really has any money. All that is just fronts. I mean, they have a little bit of money, but they don't have enough to bail out a bank. So every time a bank or every time there's a financial crisis, we get taxed for it. The people who never lose are the cartel of the Federal Reserve System. Now, the answer to this is, what's the answer to the whole thing? Well, we have to federalize, and I never thought I'd say federalizing anything was good, but in this case, we have to federalize the Federal Reserve System. And that we must make a priority. And there probably are going to be a couple of senators and congressmen who are going to start bringing that up, because the money supply and the money situation is getting so tenuous that a financial crash or financial problems is going to be imminent. Now, we don't know when. It may be tomorrow, it may be 10 years from now, but we're heading in that direction. In other words, we're not doing ourselves any favors whatsoever. We're slowly but surely sinking. And everyone knows that. I mean, this is everyone feels that. And that's one reason why the price of gold keeps on creeping up. It goes up and down, but it keeps on creeping up slowly but surely, because there's more and more uncertainty about the dollar. And it's creeping up further on the U.S. dollar than any other currency, because we are spending more now than we ever have. We are like $9 trillion in debt, $9.3 trillion in debt. I mean, it is incredible the amount of money that we print just to finance wars, for example, like staying in Iraq and Afghanistan, and keeping military bases all over the world. We just keep on printing money. Now you say, well, I will pay for that, my children will. No, you'll pay for that first, because your money will be inflated, and then your children will pay off the bonds later on. And we all will pay for it when the whole thing collapses. Without that, we don't have a hope and prayer of winning. And there'll be less and less faith in the U.S. economy. And once that happens and people say, I don't care for that. I don't think I'm going to buy that. I want something other than U.S. dollars, because it's backed by debt. And remember, a Federal Reserve note is only a promise to pay based on a promise to pay nothing. And that's a hell of a situation that we got ourselves into. And we've all been duped. We've all been duped by our own congressmen, by the people who we put into office. When people say it's time for a change, folks, there truly is a time for change. And it's now. I'm not very optimistic. I'm very pessimistic about it. I don't think there will be the changes made. And I think there's too many powerful people, too many powerful corporations. It's international. I mean, it's nothing that you and I could affect. But the only thing we can do on a personal basis is look at where we have our money. If you're sitting there and you say, well, you know, I have savings of $25,000, $20,000, and it's in cash in a bank, that may not be the smartest thing to do. Because remember, that can go away at the stroke of a pen. Without the stroke of a pen. So it's best you find alternatives for that money. In other words, I guess the way I look at it, the best way to support yourself and to protect yourself is to divorce yourself from the system. In this case, the Federal Reserve System. With that high note, I'm going to leave you, okay? And we will be broadcasting again Thursday morning at 6:30. And subject to be unknown, I have no idea what we're going to talk about then, but please do join us. And I'm going to go back to the TV and see how that football game is progressing and see if it's still going on. And by the way, I'm rooting for the Colts. I rooted for New Orleans, and they lost. Okay, this is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranchakers Audiologies for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address, again, is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, folks, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away from you, or you are striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned. Good night.